Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narrative Calculus, the podcast show where we review everything from movies to TV shows and books and musicals and everything in between. I'm Jonathan, a filmmaker, and this is...
Titus, I am a wannabe writer.
Yep. And today we have a very special episode for you. We are going to be reviewing Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas. Very interesting movie.
It is probably the single worst Christmas movie I think we've ever watched, either of us. Hallmark doesn't even measure up. You know, that Netflix, they came out with these terrible Christmas movies earlier. You know, none of it measures up. Kirk Cameron has managed to single-handedly make something. He has gone to new levels. He has gone above and beyond. He has reached a new state of being. Nirvana. I don't even know. Let's just continue.
Yeah. You can tell Ty loves this movie.
It is great.
It came out in 2014. It stars basically Kirk Cameron and I think his family. I'm not sure if it's his real family or not. It was directed by Doran Doane, who has a lot of explaining to do, and written by him and also Cheston Harvey. I think that's basically it. It was like short term released in theaters, but I don't think it really made any money at all, which is understandable. And if you actually want to watch it, it's free on YouTube right now. We don't really recommend watching it, but I mean, if you'd ever want to, you know where to find it.
Why wouldn't you want to watch this? This is a masterpiece. Revolutionary. Filmmakers in the future will look back and they will study Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas.
It's a historical piece. It's a historical piece.
I mean, if you can put a toilet on display in a museum, an upside down urinal, you can put Kirk Cameron up there with Citizen Kane, Toy Story, whatever great movies you want to put up there. Kirk Cameron, Saving Christmas, 10 out of 10. Okay, review's over. Let's go home.
So, if any of you have never seen this before, which is probably most of you, it starts out with Kirk Cameron at his annual Christmas party that his sister puts on, and he's talking to his sister, and it's a lot of bad dialogue, but whatever. And she basically says that her husband, his brother-in-law, he's not really, quote-unquote, into Christmas this year. And his brother-in-law leaves the party. He goes into his car, and Kirk goes out and kind of talks to him. And then it's basically a back and forth between weird documentary-style B-roll and Kirk Cameron explaining why everything from Christmas trees to Santa Claus to decorations actually do have something to do with Christmas and Jesus and the real message, which is what his brother-in-law, that's the problem he has with it. He's seeing less and less of Jesus and Christmas and more of Santa and Christmas trees. So that's basically the story, and at the end, obviously,
what story?
The true meaning of Christmas.
it's a 1 hour, 40 minute sermon, man.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So there aren't that many characters to talk about in this movie. I mean, there's Kirk Cameron, who's favorite thing is to talk into the camera and tell you why he's right about everything. I forgot to say at the beginning, before all this starts, there's about like a 10-minute monologue of him explaining why he loves Christmas so much while he drinks hot chocolate just staring in front of the camera. A weird choice to start this fiasco off with. But
I love Christmas cookies. I love trees. I love the commercialism. I love eating turkey. I love getting overweight. I like the guilt that comes when you realize that you've eaten way too many cookies and everybody else is waiting for you to go and leave the party. I love, you know, getting a PS3 for my present. It is just like that, except 10 minutes long.
Yeah. Charlie Brown Christmas has left the chat.
Oh, brutal. We shouldn't mention Charlie Brown Christmas. It doesn't deserve to be desecrated by being mentioned in the same room with this.
So Kirk Cameron's character, that you basically know what he does the whole time, He doesn't have much personality at all. There's no arc. He doesn't learn anything. He's basically just kind of like it is like a sermon, Ty. You hit that right on the head. He basically is just talking at the audience the whole time, and that's basically all that goes on with his character. I mean, did you see anything else, Ty?
So yeah, Kirk Cameron. Is there anything else to his character? The answer. What is nothing for $1,000? Well, I guess there is. He is very he's smug. He's totally
Yeah.
condescending to everyone he talks to. So I mean, those are viable character traits. Let me think here. He doesn't even understand his own theology. The entire thing is just, yeah, I got nothing. He's just a massive. I don't know how he's
Disappointment.
like in real life and how much of that was just really, really poor writing, but I mean, like it was bad. It was bad.
So there's also his brother-in-law whose whole point in the story is just to make arguments on why Christmas is becoming so commercial and disconnected to
Side
the
note here.
original message. Yeah?
Side note, he looks exactly like Gordon Freeman from the Half-Life games. So, if you're
He
curious
does.
as to if Half-Life ever gets a movie adaptation, this is the guy who will be playing it. So, if you want to see the rise to stardom, how he started from the one of the worst
Rise.
films ever made to the Half-Life movies, if they ever come, this is where you start. He the resemblance is truly uncanny. It is really strange. Okay, back to.
So he makes arguments on why Santa Claus really is has nothing to do with Jesus. Christmas trees aren't really in the Bible, which are viable arguments at first. And then they're kind of just completely torn apart by Kirk Cameron in the weirdest, most inaccurate way possible. And
We'll get into that later.
he doesn't have much personality. There is an arc though. He does have an arc. I mean, we gotta give him that. He finds the true meaning of Christmas. It's not like that's the arc that literally every single Christmas movie ever has used, but I guess they went with it. And so that's basically him. There's also his wife's sister who's barely in it at all, and there's a
Wait, did you
very
just say
there's a
his.
very racist black stereotype guy, and yeah, that's basically
From
everyone you're
my
gonna need to know.
perspective, it sounded like you just said his wife slash sister.
No, sorry. His the brother-in-law's wife slash Kirk Cameron's sister.
Home sweet Alabama, where the sun always shines.
Yeah,
That's
and so
mean. Sorry, Alabama. I'm sorry. Okay, let's continue.
I think that's all the characters that you're gonna need to know throughout this.
Well, there's also the hip hop dancers at the end. I mean,
Oh yeah,
they were
we
pretty
can't forget the hip
interesting.
hop dance. Nope. We can't forget the dance number. I mean, that was like the best part. I think it actually was the best part though.
Well, because we didn't have to listen to Kirk Cameron talk. That's what makes it great.
Yeah. So the plot is very, very unstructured. It's basically just for most of the runtime, it's Kirk Cameron and the documentary style B-roll going back and forth and an argument between him and his brother-in-law. And then every 15 minutes it shifts and his brother-in-law says, "Man, I was such an idiot. Wow. But wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. This Christmas trees are wrong. Oh wait, they're not? Oh man, I'm an idiot. Oh wait, 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 wait. Santa Claus. That's the problem." And then it goes to those three arguments. The three main ones were on the significance of snow globes with the manger in them. So basically nativity scenes, Christmas trees, and Saint Nicholas. But we'll get more into the theological part later. And then after that, it ends happily ever after, but yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything to say about the plot?
Sorry, there was a plot in this movie? I thought we were just listening to the word. Alistair Begg on Parkside Church is a better Joker than this man. My church pastor is more interesting than this guy talking. Okay, man.
Wait, did you just diss on your pastor, dude?
No. Anyway, this.
Did you actually, though?
We don't. I mean, our church is actually in a transition period right now. We don't have anybody okay. shepherding the flock, so to speak. But anyway, side notes aside. Every time I think about this guy, my brain melts. Every time I hear his condescending voice enter my mind.
Okay, Tyler, we're on the plot. I mean, like.
Yeah, I'm saying, when I try to think about the plot, Kirk Cameron comes in and starts lecturing me about Christmas in my head. Okay, but the plot, for real. Superficially, it kind of makes sense. These, you know, Christmas movies, they make money for a reason. The general structure, even if the style, personality, and everything else about these kinds of movies are wrong, the one thing that they generally get right in these Christmas movies is the overall structure, right? It's fairly well made, it conforms to the three-act structure almost all the time, you know? Yeah. It is bog standard, but it works, right? I mean, when you're living inside, I'm not talking about Saving Christmas. I'm talking about Christmas movies in general now. Like, you know, when you're living inside a house, you as much as you might dislike the style, the hallways, the color of the roof, or whatever, right? Generally speaking, mm-hmm. the main function of a house is to not collapse in on you and to protect you from rain, right? And that's what most of these Christmas movies do. Even, no matter how much you hate it, you can at least admit that, it does hit a lot of the essential story beats enough to the point where it's okay, if not good or great, right? This mm-hmm. fails on every conceivable level. This arc has been mapped out over and over and over. You have the Grouch who doesn't like Christmas, who grows to love it. Over and over and over. This has been done literally thousands of times. How?
Starting way back in Charles Dickens' day.
Charles Dickens, they were probably the ancient Romans probably had a better grasp on the holiday special than this dude. And they were crucifying the guy who made Christmas possible. I mean, like, that's not exactly a high bar, Kirk. That's not a high bar. Just do slightly better than the Romans. No. It's not even a plot. What, like, as you said earlier, that it can't seem to decide whether or not they want to do an actual story or whether they want to do a sermon. And so rather than commit fully, they flip-flop mm-hmm. between the two.
Yeah, I think this is actually a problem with a lot of Christian movies that come out, and why a lot of them are so subpar, as they focus on a sermon first, story afterwards. I think we touched on this maybe a little bit during our Chosen episode. By the way, that was our first episode. Go listen to that if you haven't yet. Narrative Calculus down below, the Chosen. So, we talked about how that's kind of a problem with a lot of Christian movies that some media, such as the Chosen, has been able to overcome. But this definitely does not do that. There's just absolutely no story here whatsoever, and. Go on.
I don't think necessarily putting the sermon or the themes first isn't always a bad thing. Like, I mean, that
I
was
I think big, it is a problem, though.
If you take it too far, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, C.S. Lewis, he clearly, when he wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, right, there mm-hmm. was he had a very specific worldview and he put that onto his book. There was never any flip-flopping there. Everybody yeah. knew what his viewpoint was and what he was trying to push when he made his novels, right? I mean, so you can have the same thing. It's just that what they do is not only do they put the sermon first, they basically forget about the story entirely. They yeah. think that they can basically call upon the Holy Spirit or something, and magically the sermon will transform into a beautiful butterfly and become the greatest movie ever made.
Yeah. So I think so the Kendrick brothers, who are a very
continue.
Oh, sorry, you should pause it. Okay, who are very I just want to. Put the point that I know C.S. Lewis, he was able to do it very well, but like the Kendrick brothers, who are some of the most prominent Christian directors right now, they have explicitly stated before that they're. I think it was they had a quote. It was like something like, "We're not." It's just like we're not filmmakers. We're pastors, or something like that, or like we're here to like, to like. I don't know, like get their message across, not necessarily. Tell the greatest story ever, which is something that I think this suffered from a lot. I've heard some of Kirk Cameron's other work is also very much like this, theology lesson, more or less, during the whole time. And so I think that's everything we have to say. Just
it's actually let me let me continue here for a bit and bounce off of what you said. Like it's actually really, really, if they want to convey their message. Realistically speaking, here's some advice to any Christian filmmakers who happen to be listening or whatever. Somehow they managed to smack their way into this video. The best way to convey your message, guys, is by telling a good story. The whole purpose of story, when story was probably being made way back by the Greeks, you know, like the tale of Icarus, the Greek stories, the dramas and all that, their whole point was to convey an argument or an idea and explain why they believed that idea was right. Not by, you know, preaching to you, but by showing the logical consequences from their perspective of what would happen if you made those decisions. Like, you know, just, yeah, just something to chew on there. So... It's far more effective than just telling somebody. You know, you show them through action. You don't just tell it to somebody. Yeah. All right, sorry for that lecture. I don't know where that came from.
So besides the themes of, you know, Christmas is actually great and we shouldn't, you know, it actually is all about Jesus and, you know, the commercialism, it actually is all connected. Did you pick up on anything else besides that, or do you want to elaborate on what I said?
Well, I suppose there was some light themes of Kirk Cameron is always 100% right. He is the next prophet after Joseph Smith and, you know, let's name another cult leader or something, whatever. I guess there was the additional theme of dance, hip-hop, if you want to praise Jesus. Yeah. I got nothing, man. I got nothing.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything more to the themes than what I just explained? Basically just Christmas commercialism is good, okay, and it connects to yes. Jesus?
Remember, God came in a material form, so it's okay to be materialistic, right?
Yeah.
Right. I think there's
yeah,
a
it's
bit...
like Jesus. It's like Jesus wore clothes, so that means we should all, like, that means we should wear Gucci, right? Because Jesus wore clothes, or... Oh, wait, wasn't there something about, a rich young ruler who's told to sell everything? Oh, wait, no, oh, my bad, sorry. That must have been in the Book of Mormon or something.
Yeah. Pearl of Great Price. I don't know what you're talking about, man. Yeah, stop it with your heretical yeah. beliefs, dude.
Yeah,
get
what's that? What's that crazy talk? Okay. But,
sorry in advance to any Mormons listening.
So I think that's basically it for any themes throughout this movie. There's that's just about it. I mean, it's a Christmas movie, so obviously you're gonna get the general themes, but the music was, how do I put it, non-existent to interesting in not a good way. There's this like amazing, there's just incredible hip hop dance number at the end that completely is far and away like Michael Jackson, Beyonce, Step Aside. You don't have anything on these people. Like these, they're just, you're just like gonna eat their dust because this is just on a completely other, this is on a completely another level. Like Elvis, get out of here. Like Elvis who? Like, you know? Like this is the most amazing music video you've ever seen. How about you, Ty? I mean, can you really disagree? Ty?
There comes a time in a man's life when he has to realize that there are certain things that are just, they're worth fighting for. Even no matter how superficial they may seem, no matter how absurd, no matter how utterly ridiculous, this is one of them. As soon as I heard that music blow through my ears, I realized that my life was purposeless without hip hop, without this Christian hip hop. I have decided to become a Christian hip hop maker thanks to this film. I quit
Wow.
my job.
Congratulations,
I
Ty.
have I apparently had a job before. I didn't know that. I've quit my job. I've quit my school because I want to become a Christian hip hop maker. All thanks to Kirk Cameron. Kirk, you have given me purpose in my purposeless existence. Thank you for that, Kirk. This you truly are a man ahead of your time.
Wow. Ty, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say. Does this mean you'll keep doing the podcast though, right?
Yes, it is unfortunate, but narrative calculus, guys, I've just found a higher calling now. I will dedicate my life in service to God by becoming a Christian hip hop maker.
Wow, Ty. I wish you luck on this new chapter in your life. And we will
Yes.
all miss you. But I
Don't.
guess we'll see you again on next Monday, but whatever. So, let's so why don't we touch on the theology quickly? We haven't done that yet. So, let's again present
Kirk
the three
Cameron.
arguments that
He
this movie
uses. Oh, okay. You continue.
Yep. Okay, I just wanted to. Okay, so the three arguments that this movie presents are basically the importance of the manger, and the manger scene, the nativity, and why it was so important. And then the brother-in-law understands that the importance of Christmas trees, which is kind of a strange argument. The movie appears to say, God creates Christmas tree. Christmas. No. God creates tree. Tree joins Christmas. Christmas kills God. So tree is okay, kind of. I don't know. And it's basically saying since God created trees are okay to have during Christmas time. And the last argument is for Santa Claus, which kind of is, I think, is the strongest of the three. It's basically talking about how he was a defender of the faith and a bishop and apparently ruthlessly beat a man with his staff, Lord of the Rings style. But you know, I guess, yeah. What and so it's basically saying because that's what Saint Nicholas did, it's okay that we celebrate Santa Claus more than Jesus. So those are the three main arguments it presents. Now let's pick them apart one by one and torture them.
Yes. Torture. That's exactly what I was in the mood for.
No mercy. You wanna go ahead there, pal?
Okay. I wasn't sure if I should start. Okay, yes. So, the manger scene one is probably not the funniest. It is the most confusing out of them all. They never really establish what Christian's problem with the manger scene is. And Kirk Cameron just spends basically 20 minutes talking about how it doesn't even make any sense at all. Like, it's really hard to describe because It is like almost dreamlike how he talks about it. He hops from one point to the other without really explaining what he even means, and it's just it's total nonsense. I cannot make heads or tails of it.
You know, actually, what they may have
by far just the greatest bit of logical reasoning I have ever seen. This man, this genius right here, goes above and beyond in his analysis. He uses just techniques of the mind that us mere mortals can only hope to comprehend. Basically, his argument summed up, you know, I barely even understand it myself. You'll have to watch that scene let it really sink in, you know? Trees are made by God. Trees appear in the Bible. Therefore, it is okay to have a Christmas tree during Christmas time. Everybody, just feel free to applaud at that brilliant piece. I know you're thinking, holy cow, what a genius. What, I can't, it's exhausting to keep that up. It is dumb. It's really dumb. It's actually just, it's really, really dumb. Like, all I have to do to pick that apart is say, oh, well, okay, let me think here. Well, you know what else was in the Bible? Camels. They were probably riding I think they mention in Genesis that Abraham had a bunch of camels. So, you know what we ought to do? We need to all go out, buy camels, and put them in our homes. They will eat our... And that's why we also need the trees.
Oh, so no, no, no. And you know what? God told the Israelites they should not have horses. So that means... Horses are now illegal. We are going to cancel horses because those are super sinful. I mean, having them would just be a crime against God and humanity. And trees are henceforth, because of my decree, illegal. Yep. And the third argument, oh man, Saint Nicholas. Wow. So apparently, Saint Nicholas and Santa Claus are the same thing, which I think this movie, what it kind of like obscures, and what I think the point it misses during a Santa Claus argument, is that Santa Claus and Saint Nicholas are not the same thing. Okay, you think we can agree on that, Ty? That there is the person that is on basically every piece of Christmas merchandise, and the person who lived like thousands, I don't know, hundreds, or I don't know if it's hundreds or thousands, I don't know when he was alive, of years ago, are not the same person, and celebrating one or the other is not the same. Would you call that accurate?
Yes!
I think
you
that,
said it!
I think that... Okay, so when you celebrate Santa Claus, you know, basically he's on every piece of merchandise, and like, celebrating Saint Nicholas for what he did, I think, are two completely different things because they're two completely different people.
Yes, yes, you 100% nailed it. I don't have anything else to say. It's just very, very good. Awesome.
Okay. Thank you for that. Is there any other problems you see in the arguments that they make? I know you could keep going on all day, but is there?
Yeah. I mean, we could keep going, but I don't think this is necessarily the right place. If we want to do some blog post or something dedicated to that, or some video, we'll go ahead and do that. But here, I think we've wrapped up.
So, lastly, I guess we'll finish on the movie itself. The visuals, I think, were ugly. It was directed very bad. Half the movie's just back and forth shots in a car. The color grading is abysmal. The lighting is really bad. I think they probably just turned on the lights in the house and just ran with it. Not much effort was put in here. Do you have anything to say about it? I know you're usually much less harsh because you don't care as much, but
Yeah, the visuals. I mean, they were bad. I don't have much else to say.
Yeah. As usual. So, do you have any quick thoughts you'd like to let the audience know before we give our final opinions and summaries? I do. I
Okay.
just want to mention the Santa Claus, the Saint Nicholas, is that I think one of the weirdest scenes in the whole movie is when Saint Nicholas, I don't know if this really happened or not. They said it really happened, but I don't really know how much I want to trust them on this. Apparently, Saint Nicholas did and thought it was okay to grab a man in a tavern, kicking and screaming, flailing around, throw him outside into the snow, and proceed to viciously beat him with his religiously significant bishop staff. Yeah. There's so many problems with that. Blessed are the
Remember,
peacemakers,
kids.
I suppose. Does not apply
Yeah.
to Saint Nicholas or Kirk Cameron at all. Yeah, and that happens. It's a pretty funny scene. You should, if you want to watch it just for that scene. But yeah, I don't know what they were. I don't know what they may have been drinking or yeah, at that when they thought that was a acceptable or a good idea.
Try smoking or snorting, not drinking. That's my only
Okay.
conclusion.
Wait, we shouldn't, to be clear, we don't want to be mean to the people who made this movie. I'm sure there's plenty of good excuses on why it turned out like this that they could explain. So just we don't want to be mean to anyone, is all I'm saying. Which we have been this whole time, but we won't. Okay, well, okay. That's basically all I have to say about it. Obviously, I love the dance scene. There's also a very, very racially stereotyped black guy in there that I don't know why he was in the movie. It was very strange. And oh, one other thing. Kirk Cameron's sister looks old enough to be his mother. Did you notice that?
Repeat.
Kirk Cameron's sister in the movie looks old enough to be his mother.
Dude, that's not cool. What if she's listening to this?
No, seriously though, she looks very old. I don't know.
She
She
looks like
has not aged
she's
that well.
barely a day over 18. Come on, man.
A day over 18.
To quote Joe Biden, come on, man.
To quote Joe Biden, okay. To quote Joe Biden, yes.
Well,
The
okay, nope,
peak of high
joke
intellect.
banished.
Okay.
I was about to make a very dangerous joke.
I've done that many times, but do you have any quick thoughts? Quick thoughts?
Right, quick thoughts. Christian was my favorite character in this movie, and there wasn't a moment when I wasn't saying to myself, please, come on, just fight back, dude. Don't give in to the Kirk. Don't give in.
Resist. Okay, well, I think actually when I think about it, all of his arguments were valid, and I guess we should actually be real. You know, maybe this is like maybe like he's like supposed to be maybe like Kirk Cameron's like completely like so high and above anyone else intellectually that it's not possible for us to comprehend this, but in some alternately, okay, obviously I'm not smart that either, but way, Christian was ultimately the good guy, and he's who we should have been rooting for the whole time. And
Oh, this is like,
in some,
this is
yes,
next
it's a
level.
reverse
Yes.
psychology thing. Yes, I
They
think we
want
just
us to
completely
be,
missed
oh,
it.
we totally missed the point, man. Oh, Kirk, you are a genius, dude. How could we have missed it? Oh, Christian was the good guy all along. This is not a comedy sermon. This is a tragedy about how Christian could ultimately failed to stand up for his correct ideals, but he wasn't able to hold on to them in the face of Kirk Cameron's overwhelming.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about
some of these other. Yeah, you continue.
No, you do it.
Okay. Let's take a look at some of these masterpieces of literature that Kirk Cameron has managed to put together. S-A-N-T-A. Rearrange the letters. Satan, Santa, Satan. Same letters.
Yes.
Same letters. I never realized that. I mean, I didn't even know that.
Well,
Kirk Cameron, continuing.
I just want to say that if you check out The Odd Ones Out on YouTube, he did figure that out first.
The Odd Ones Out. Oh, I don't watch The Odd Ones
Out. Okay, just want to mention that. And then one of our other favorite lines from this movie is Crazy Shirt Friday. Not lines, I guess, but one of our favorite phrases is Crazy Shirt Friday. There's a whole little discussion on the importance of Crazy Shirt Friday and how it must be preserved at all costs. We must be resistance, and we must keep Crazy Shirt Friday at all costs because it is so near and dear to our hearts, just like the Constitution.
Okay, let's see here. Remember, this is a celebration of the eternal God taking on a material body. So it's right that our holiday is marked with material things. Kirk continuing to feed us with the word of God here.
The words of wisdom.
Yes. Yes, words of wisdom. What a genius. I'm marking all this down. I'm copy-pasting it into my notepad so that I can have this on hand whenever I feel bad. I just have this. Nicholas was bad. In a good way.
In a good way. Oh my gosh. It sounds like something out of the Lego Batman movie.
I'm gonna... okay. Yeah, let's stop now. Stop.
Okay. So I think we should... I think that's basically all I have to say about this movie. It's just a fiasco. But again, we don't want to be mean to Kirk Cameron, you know? He's probably a very nice person, and we'd love to have him on a guest sometime as a guest podcaster. He'll probably there's many good reasons why, you know, maybe they only had like a month to film it, maybe they had very limited resources, or maybe it could have been anything. It takes a lot of hard work to make a good movie. I think Ty and I both understand, so we give them props for at least trying their best, but it obviously just wasn't all there. So, in conclusion, what would you, Ty, the wannabe writer, give Saving Christmas by Kirk Cameron 1 out of 10?
Okay. For myself... Wait, before we do that, I wanted to ask what your favorite line from the movie was.
My favorite line from the movie. I don't know. Probably, like, I don't know if you'd call this a line, but maybe, like, the part where he's, like, where the brother-in-law is, like, closing his eyes and just, like, feeling all around the car and saying, oh, I don't know where it is in the Bible. I don't know where it is, which is probably, you know, the movie was already hitting top cringe levels as it was, but that just kind of pushed it. That just pushed it past the limit. And probably also would be the part where the racially stereotyped black guy is talking about conspiracy theories.
That was great.
That was something.
That was,
yeah. I think those are my two favorites. How about you?
Okay, two favorite scenes, three favorite scenes, and one.
Okay.
Two favorite scenes and one favorite line. So, favorite line, straight power. Just that line. Straight power. The black guy says it, and it is my new favorite. Okay.
Straight power.
The other two are the two scenes with the black dude and him talking at Christian, and the one where the conspiracy theorist is talking to him. The one you were talking about. I think...
Yeah.
I feel like I want to grab one of these lines and turn it into some kind of channel meme for us, you know?
That'd be good. Like, slap it on a couple t-shirts and then...
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Let me think. What, maybe there's something quotable for what that when that black guy was talking to Christian. If we don't stop them, they'll take away Crazy Shirt Friday, man.
Yeah, Crazy Shirt Friday.
Yes, that has got be the strangest line out of all of what is Crazy Shirt Friday? Why is that even a thing? What is that? That is the most exciting thing they have? Not pool night or, like, you know, tennis or Crazy Shirt Friday.
Crazy Shirt Friday, yep.
Okay.
Well, so I think, so those are your, you said you had, like, three scenes, right? Three scenes? So
no, two scenes, two scenes.
What was that? Okay, two scenes, one line. Okay. And so, what would you give this fiasco 1 out of 10?
Okay, on the one hand, Kirk Cameron has managed to create one of the greatest pieces of art I think I've ever seen. Like, you know, historians, as I said earlier, historians will look back on this and see this as a major achievement for both for the Christian filmmaking industry and the filmmaking industry in general. I believe that this will be taught in classrooms around the world as how to not make a movie, how to avoid making a terrible movie. But ultimately, Kirk, buddy, while you have succeeded in creating possibly the most exhausting movie I have ever watched, I think I died somewhere about, like, midway through. My soul went into heaven, and then God saw what I was doing and realized that that I had been watching Saving Christmas and decided to return me to my body because he saw that it was kind of unfair, seeing as how he was partially responsible, a little bit, somewhat responsible for the nightmare that is Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas. So... But I mean, honestly, while it is really, really exhausting, in terms of actual craftsmanship, I mean, it's not the worst I have ever seen. So, really? Overall, yeah, I mean,
you've seen worse.
Yeah, there's some truly terrible, just really, really bad shows out there. There's a show.
Unholy.
There's a show called Charge Man Ken, and it makes no sense. We'll have to do a review on it, actually, point. It is truly the worst show, one of the worst shows ever made. But back to Kirk Cameron. Overall, yes. I'd have to give it a 3 out of 10.
Unlike Ty, actually, I didn't feel that this movie was super heavy on me. Like, I didn't see it, it wasn't super exhausting. It was just kind of just like, I think if I could, I saw this in one of my favorite comics. If I could, like, describe this as a piece of, what is it called? What do you call it? Like a period or a comma or like a,
what's that called? Semicolon?
No, as a, I completely blanked on it. Everyone's going to think I'm an idiot. But if I could describe this movie in one... Oh, what are those, like, little marks that we use in the English language called?
Periods?
No, I know, but what's the overall thing that we call them?
Language?
No, like... Okay, I described this movie as a question mark.
Yeah?
Just, like, not...
Good.
Like, there's just so many things to question. Like, why did they make this argument? Why is this argument so bad? Why do they think this argument was okay? Why did they think this movie was okay? What were they doing when they were making this movie? What were they snorting or drinking while they were making this movie? Why am I watching this movie? There's so many questions. There's so many questions that I have... when I watched this movie that I don't know. They just kind of keep me preoccupied the whole time. But so I think I'd have to agree with Ty and give this, yeah, give this movie a 3 out of 10. Please don't make more movies. I'm just kidding. Do whatever you want, but I'm not guaranteeing to watch them.
Kirk, you can't give up now. All right. I when I saw this movie, your acting, your style, I see real potential here. If you keep on going, there might be a point where you actually make not only the most exhausting film of all time, but the genuinely the worst made, like actually terrible, just absolutely awful film ever made. I believe in you, Kirk. I believe in you. You can't give up, okay?
Yeah. So, you know, actually, I think I thought of one good scenario to watch this movie under for anyone who's wondering if they want to watch it. So this is for 18 and over completely. So, but let's just say you're at a Christmas party and you're over 18 and you have one too many drinks of hard eggnog and you just kind of black out and then you're unconscious on the floor and your friends don't know how to wake you up. They try like pressing on your chest or they try doing the, you know, the electric thing and nothing's working. But then somebody puts this movie on and it just awakens you and you're just, you're rejuvenated. You come back just like Ty did. And you're just, and you just feel completely like a new person with a new life purpose. And yeah, I think that's the best way to watch this movie. I think that's the only appropriate time to watch this movie. So, I think together, the Narrative Calculus podcast gives Saving Christmas by Kirk Cameron a 3 out of 10. If you enjoyed this episode of Narrative Calculus, don't forget to subscribe, and if you want to help spread the word, be sure to leave a 5-star review down below and tell your friends to subscribe. We're going to have a lot of new content coming out soon. Starting the 23rd, we are going to have a special week where we're going to Thanksgiving week. We're going to be releasing consecutive episodes. It's going to be a very special week, so 23rd, 24th, all the way to the 27th. We're going to have a new episode every day. It's going to be special for you guys because we're so thankful for you, for all of our listeners, and we really appreciate you listening. So we want to make this as much as a special Thanksgiving as possible. We're going to have some Christmas specials also coming up soon, so keep your eye out for that, and maybe guests, and just all sorts of new content. Like, we got a lot of stuff. I'm really excited about it. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Be sure to check out some of our other episodes also, like I mentioned in this episode, The Chosen, or maybe our Cars 2 episode, or whichever one you want. And we'll see you on the next one. Bye, everybody. One.